Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in on a Victory Monday and a Reaction Monday. We here on The Drive are reacting to that ass-kicking the Texans put on the Baltimore Ravens, and we want to hear from you. Figgy Fig is in the building, holding it down, doing a little OT as Tyler is under the weather. Hopefully we see T-Mill back tomorrow with us here on The Drive, but shout out to Figgy holding it down. 713-572-4610. You know the drill. Call in and Figgy will get you on the line. I want you to have this thought. Don't just come out here spewing stuff. I want you to have this thought. Have the Texans done enough in these last two games in which we understand the opponents? It's 70-10. Have they done enough now in which you feel comfortable that this team can make a run for a playoff spot? Have they done enough thus far? 713-572-4610. Clem, before we get in here, I want to say thank you to Jalen Noel for that Ray Lewis celebration.
Yes, that was good.
That you did. That was fantastic. I want to also say thank you to D'Amico. Now that we heard him on his press conference today, earlier today on In the Loop, where he said, yeah, I've been pushing the guys to have more celebrations in mind. And he said he was surprised. He had no mention of the weak reaction of the Baltimore Ravens. First off, Jair Alexander, your ass ain't been there long enough to say I'm not gonna give you.
This
the
was
ball
his
back.
First game too,
man,
right?
Get that. I think he got his ass roasted by the Bills in the first game, and then he's had an injury. Your ass ain't been there long enough. You just ain't. You ain't been there long enough. All right. And not to mention that they putting it on your ass. Shut up. Stop. And this is, by the way, that's when I knew this version of the Ravens, this is over. There's going to be a massive change. I think it's John Harbaugh. They didn't want to play for John Harbaugh in the game, but they ain't going to come and be pissed off when their ass is down. I don't even know what the score was at the time then. 30-something to very little.
Yeah, it was in the 30s.
And then you going to be pissed because he's doing Ray Lewis's dance. Boy, get up out of here. That's when y'all ain't going to play during the game, but y'all going to play during celebration. Ray Lewis probably would have walked out there and said, hell no, you keep doing it. Like my man Stacy said in the wood, that young rookie got more heart than y'all do. Shut up. Shut up and sit down there and let him do it, Jair Alex. How dare you? Who the hell are y'all? Y'all done got y'all asses mad. Y'all not mad because they in there whooping y'all ass? These dudes ain't been able to do nothing all year. Christian Kirk ain't ran past a soul. And he's down here running way. I mean, he could have sat there and waited another 5 seconds for Chris. He could have said, here, Christian, run to the other side of the field. Stop and run to the other side of the field. Get open. Y'all wasn't doing it. You get mad. Them Ravens, this is done. John Harbaugh is a dead man walking.
Well, on top of getting mad, you just try to take the ball from him.
Take the ball.
Like push him or blindside him or something. You can't just tug of war the ball.
And
I mean, that's something that, I mean, Trey's, your boys, that's something Nicholas would do.
Nicholas, yeah, he's
that's
fine.
It. Nicholas, you can see Nicholas out there trying to take the ball for an extended period of time from
give it to me.
Give it to me now and play in tug of war.
He said, y'all may have won, but I ain't going to let you keep the ball when you're doing the Ray Lewis dance. Did you just say that out loud? Did you hear yourself, Jair? Again, you're a Packer. You've been here. You played a game and a half. Get out of here.
You know, the bigger point you make there,
they're
is,
done,
is that Harbaugh's done. I don't know that they're gonna justify firing him after a performance where so many guys are hurt, but I do think there's something there, Ron, of like,
no, they may not do it now.
They just flat out quit on this dude.
This reminds me, he's been there 18 years. This reminds me,
has he been there that long?
Yeah. This reminds me of that last year, Andy Reid in Philly. Remember they signed all them dudes? And then it was like a 4-win season, and you could just tell like his voice had just stopped. It ain't that Andy couldn't coach anymore. Clearly, we see, but it just
turned
12, 13 years, man.
Out. Yeah,
it was over. Yeah, man. Like, listen, man, we see it. We saw the 49ers. They had the same amount of injuries, and it just as many important pieces on their team, and they not only competed. Them dudes didn't compete. Yeah. The only time they competed is when Jalen Noel did a Ray Lewis touchdown dance. That's the most competing they did all game. All right, 713-572-4610. We hear from you. Have they done enough? Have they done enough to prove to you in these last two games that they can make a run to the playoffs? Jay, let's start with you. Have they done enough for you, Jay?
Yes, sir, Ron. Man, I'm feeling good, man. Remember when I called in 2 weeks talking crazy, man? This is the team that I love, man. This is the team that I root for. You know, man, we back on track, man. We back on track. Dalton Schultz, man, I'm so proud of him. The way he's blocking, man, I'm so proud of CJ. That's how we do it, man. I got to go, man.
Appreciate you, Jay. Jay had lost it a couple of weeks back. He lost his mind a bit. I think Jay was ready to fire D'Amico. I believe that was Jay. Jay was ready to be out on
fire
D'Amico.
All, baby.
He was out. I just said, take a deep breath, big dog. You're gonna be all right. You're gonna be all right. 713-572-4610. Again, we hear from the people. Have they done enough to prove to you that you think they can make a legitimate run to get to the playoffs? Pat, your thoughts.
I think we have, man. I think our defense is good enough to play this next streak, which is gonna be the Seahawks, 49ers, Broncos and Jaguars, all playoff teams. After CJ hit, you know, these two slump busters of a defense, I think we're going to be on the right groove to beat them.
All right, appreciate the call, Pat. See, that's the deal, though, Clint, is
great,
I don't –
great call.
Yeah,
slump busters, man.
Yeah, slump busters.
Big, big, thick slump busters.
That Baltimore, that was a real big one. that was one of them big ones that know how to dress good. One of them cute big ones, cute big girls right there that dress good. Say, yeah, I'm a little big, but I still wear thongs.
Confident.
Yeah, confident. I still wear a thong. Anyway, the defense, I don't think there's ever been a question about the defense, right? There have been some things where you're like, damn, man, they gave up that many yards against the Bucs on the ground, or they couldn't get some stops late. But I mean, hell, you hold a team to 14 points. Like, you feel like you should win. You hold a team to 17 points. You feel like you should win. But I think the thing he's talking about, although he used slump buster, is their offense gaining, at least they're gaining confidence, right? Like, in college, I've seen this. Bill Snyder at K-State was big on this. Yeah, I ain't gonna schedule a soul. I'm just going to get – we're going to run it up. We're going to get some confidence. And we're going to run our offense, and we're going to feel good about ourselves. And then we run into these teams. It feels like maybe they've done this a little bit, Clint, where CJ just looks visibly more confident, more in control, more comfortable than he was obviously when they was losing.
Look, I would argue that CJ needed these two games in preseason. CJ needed these two games in this type of atmosphere, and he needed to see this level of success in the preseason instead of getting his head rung by Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter all training camp long, or instead of playing one series in a preseason game. Like, you can argue that, especially in hindsight, that those first three games may have went a little different if this offense had some level of an identity of what the hell they wanted to do instead of just getting absolutely abused all training camp long. And so way I look at it, man, these two previous games look like preseason games. In a sense of going, and I don't mean that as negatively and disrespectful as it sounds. It's just a team went out there, and you could tell it's starting to find themselves, starting to create a little bit of an identity. Guys are starting to kind of buy in a little bit. The offensive coordinator starting to realize who does what better, and the you know, because of the injuries, you're getting a little bit more of Dalton Schultz than you thought you'd probably get at the beginning of the year, and things are kind of starting to unfold for you in a preseason type of way. And now you got a bye week, get healthy, and now you got to go on the road to see if you can kick your season off the right way in Seattle.
Text line coming in, confident but gonna be tight. They need to sweep the remaining division games or will be a wild card at best. Now, I will say this. You dug yourself a hole, obviously, at 0-3. Let's keep looking at the rest of the AFC. Because the rest of the AFC, it's usually right now, especially going to a 17-game schedule, it's like, all right, man, let's 10 wins. You got to get to 10 wins. We've actually seen teams get to 10 and not make the playoffs. It feels like this year you might be able to get in at 9 wins. Just with the Bengals, they may be out of it here without Joe Burrow. And hell, they're not even – he came to the podium today and he's not even saying Jake Browning's going to be the starter. Now, I don't even know who the hell else is over there. But we see the Ravens are probably in a bit of a hole there. And the Dolphins and the Jets stink. The Raiders clearly are in a different space. You know, we'll see. There's a lot of teams like the Texans and the Jags and the Steelers and Chargers. And the Chargers even. They dropped two in a row. There's a lot of those teams. Tell the Chiefs right now, they're 2-2. There's a lot of those teams right there in that range where you could at least right now, you're maybe a game away from feeling like the Texans completely can be in that space. But I do agree with the texter. The 0-3 start did kind of put you in a hole. And you got to win some of these games. Let's just say we're looking at it. The Ravens game before the season started is a game that you didn't think they were going to win. So this is one that you can almost say they stole, right? Like this is one you didn't identify as a dub. So that, you know, I get that point there. But let's look at the rest of the AFC. It's not as strong win-wise right now as maybe we thought it would be.
Well, look, the story with the Texans right now is I mean, you'd be crazy to be talking about winning the division and getting a home playoff game, which is where we were when this thing started.
Yeah.
Right? Right now it is, can you get this record back on the positive note? Can you get it back on the right side of 500? And then can you find a way to make this division interesting with Indianapolis? The good thing is you've got two games late season against Indy. So as long as you've got that, you've got the ability not to control your own destiny, but you got the ability to swing the division in a major way. And you're going to be a better version of yourself when that game comes around. And so, yeah, I mean, look, the light is at the end of the tunnel. It's the truth. Like you said, you've dug a hole and now you've got to find a way to steal more than just the Baltimore game to get back on the right side of 500 here. So, yeah, I mean, like you said, if 9 wins is the mark and not winning the division, right now I think it's a fair conversation with the –
Yeah, talking about a playoff spot.
Yeah, because, Indy looks good now. They're scoring points at will. And
they went 40-6 yesterday?
Yeah, something like that.
Good God almighty.
They're rolling now.
And Geno's just out there giving. You know, every single list I saw this year had Geno Smith cleared maybe about 2 quarterbacks over Dak.
Yeah, I mean, Geno was, I guess, him and Dak right on the fringe, right?
But I mean, I've seen
looking like Geno for the Jets now.
I see
West Virginia Geno.
I saw Geno at like 12 or 13, and Dak like 14, 15. Old time, and Dak looked like he might be the MVP of the league. All right, Northside D, do you still believe Northside D? Turn your radio down.
Yes, sir.
Turn your radio down.
That works.
Does that work?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Yo, man.
I'm looking at it from a different lens, man. I listen to y'all guys every day. But I look at it from a different lens. I never kind of wavered.
Because I already knew the OC was a new OC, so I kind of looked at it different. But it's good to see that he got back on track, man. And I listen to what y'all be saying, and on the cool, I don't disagree with anything. But even with all the bad that went on and that 0-3 start, we can easily be 5-0 or at least 3-2 on the cool. So with things looking back up, I feel like we're stepping in the right direction, man. As long as we keep doing what we're doing, we can compete with anybody. We just got to keep our quarterback upright and him make all the right decisions. And I'm going to step back and listen to y'all. Appreciate y'all.
Appreciate, D. Listen, yeah, they could. I mean, their defense has played well enough. Again, they gave up 14 points to the Rams and 17 to the Jags. And right, they had a lead at the end of the game over the Bucks with 9 seconds left, and they lost. So, yeah, they could. But, I mean, they weren't. And I think a big reason why they're not is because their offense hadn't been showing any kind of signs. If they were playing with the offense they played in the last five quarters, yeah, they'd be 5-0. But, like this texter just said, good win, great win. Let's see what they do on the road against Seattle, and we'll talk. I think that then we'll start to see them going up against a legit playoff team, and can they pull that win off? And I think if they beat Seattle, I think clearly everybody's got to look at them differently, or you're just a hater.
Yeah, you beat Seattle on the road. Now you've gone out and done something that really good football teams struggle to do. You know, you've gone out and beat a team in a wild environment in prime time, a team that's got unless it's Tampa Bay Buccaneers they're facing, has got a really good defense, and Sam Darnold. If that ball wouldn't have bounced off that damn D lineman's head, well, I think yeah. You may be looking at him a little different today too. So, yeah, it's a good football team. I mean, you go beat Seattle, then you automatically put yourself into one. I think in order to beat them, we're going to have four more quarters of C.J. Stroud playing the brand of quarterback that we need. And I'll be honest with you, Ryan. I think it's as simple as this. We talk this thing six ways to Sunday for 4 hours every day. I get it, but I think it boils down to this: with this defense, if C.J. Stroud stays committed. Whether it works or not is irrelevant. If CJ, to my point, whether it works or not is irrelevant to my point. If he keeps playing the brand of quarterback of searching to get answers immediately in the quick game, works low to high and takes minimizes the amount of risk that he takes, and then when he does, it's calculated. Whether they all hit or he hits one of three instead of two of three, whether they have to go for it on fourth and one multiple times, like I believe that this is a team that's good enough to beat good football teams, and they're good enough to challenge for the playoffs this year, even though they started 0-3. So it's not like C.J. Stroud has to commit to this style of football and complete 85% of his passes to do it, right, and have eight different guys catch balls. That's ideal, but it doesn't have to be that clean and that efficient for this team to win games. What you have to do is refrain from allowing the defense to force you into situations where you all of a sudden start taking more and more risk. And now the defense isn't even good enough to overcome it, right? So, I mean, It's just committing to the level of the offense, even when it's tough, is going to be the key. Yeah.
All right, let's head to our players of the game, our Man Eye Institute player of the game. You could text in yours, 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. There's a lot to choose from, guys. A lot of people stood out in yesterday's game. Who's your player of the game? We'll discuss that coming up next. Victory Monday, Reaction Monday, right here live on Sports Radio 610 on The Drive. Remember, it is Monday. We're off early as the coaches show with D'Amico Ryans. It will start 5 o'clock right after we're done. So make sure you stay tuned to listen to Coach Fresh Off. Maybe I have to go look at that playoff score against the Browns. I think this is the most lopsided win they've had. 44-10. I think that's the biggest ass kicking that they've had in the D'Amico era. It seems like.
I think I heard somebody saying that it's the worst ass kicking that Harbaugh's taken in Baltimore
since 2008.
Oh, was that when it was 2008?
That's how long he's been there. Someone texted and said, "Ron, you made me feel old." He's been there 18 years. Yeah, he's rolling on a decade.
In 2008, what decade? In 2000,
I mean, two decades. Excuse me. Yeah.
In 2008, they had a worst loss. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah, it's worst loss since 2008.
Whew. Mm. How's that running room?
Yeah, how about that. Yeah, whole left side got caved in.
Jesus.
Yeah, that Buffalo defense. All right, let's do this. 713-572-4610. YouTube and Twitch, you can jump in. There's a lot of places people can go when you look at players of the game. Because when you win 44-10 and the only touchdown they give, you know, the game's really over, there's going to be a lot of good things. You throw four touchdown passes to four different people and so many people have an impact in the game. There's a lot of places that you can go. All right, so Clint, we can jump in with you. Who is your Man Eye Institute player of the game? By the way, Man Eye Institute, see life better.
Ron, it's hard for me. I hate to be repetitive on the show, which I don't mind. I don't mind beating a dead horse. Everybody knows that. But I can't go anywhere but C.J. Stroud. I mean, I want to go Jalen Petrie just to be a little different. Jalen Petrie had a hell of a game. I'm a big, big fan of Jalen Petrie. But
yeah, man, two picks, man.
I got to go with C.J. Stroud, man. I mean, again, 85% completion, and most impressively, just again because now I think we know. Like, I think year one with C.J. Stroud, Ron, it was like literally happenstance. Like, I think it was accidental that C.J. Stroud played the brand. I mean, obviously, I'm not saying he's not talented. Obviously, he led the league in yards per game and the fewest interceptions because he's crazy talented. But that was an outcome of you know, I think an organization trying to protect a young quarterback that didn't know about NFL football, trying to protect a young quarterback that had a bunch of injuries at the offensive line, trying to protect a quarterback that had a bunch of wide receivers get hurt. And the outcome just happened to be, and that was a hell of a deal, just happened to be a crazy combination of stats. But I think by nature, he wants to be a drive the football down the field. I'm a ball placement specialist. When somebody says that, they're not talking about the quick game, the screen game. They're talking about laying it in the bucket down the field. So I think by nature, he is a drive the ball down the field guy. For him to commit to, you know, what Nick Caley and what everybody wants him to be, and wholeheartedly commit the way that he did this Sunday, I think it's a tell sign that he's pot committed. I mean, damn it, he is just pot committed. And so the box scores are tremendous. The completion percentage is unbelievable. Spreading the football around the field, the dead eye accurate in the red zone, the shots that landed, it's all beautiful. And I can't go anywhere but C.J. Stroud. I gave him an A for his grade, and the only way it could be better is if the opponent would have been better. It was out of his control. So I got to go with C.J. Stroud for my Man Eye Institute player of the game.
Yeah, C.J. Stroud. Someone said Clinton got it right. Yeah, he did. He was fantastic. Someone texted in, got to be Petrie, created offense with his defense. Yeah, I mean, the two turnovers he got, and he was so aggressive. D'Amico talked about it, how he is aggressive around the line of scrimmage everywhere. And then, like, one of the signature moments of the game, and yes, J.J. Watt is right. He kind of walked it back a little bit, and said he's been in those situations where he's been chipped. But when Jalen Petrie put Derrick Henry on his ass, I mean, mm-hmm. off his feet and on his ass, no, didn't rap nothing, just put him on his ass, and I mean, and the ass kicking was well into its full force by that point, but. Still, that was a continuing message that they were sending, and that Jalen Petrie just no fear. Yeah, I know how big you are. I see your commercials, all that, but he came in there and laid his ass out. I thought it was fantastic for him. So yes, I could see where people on the text line and YouTube and Twitch are rolling there. Clint, I'm gonna go here. This has been the story since this thing started, and I got players of the game. I got Ursary, Scruggs, Andrews, Big Ed, and Titus Howard. That offensive line up front, maybe a couple of times where they had some miscommunication and they let something go through. But besides that, man, the reason why, as I said earlier, is, hell, man, he could have had a blindfold, Nick Caley, and just stuck his hand in a box and just pulled plays out. They would have worked. A major point of that is because the Texans' offensive line played so well and dominated up front against that defensive line that they were able to do whatever the hell they wanted to. They could do play action. They could do handoffs. They could do whatever they wanted to because the offensive line allowed them to be able to do so. So to me, those guys have been a huge topic of conversation. And when they have struggled, we have pointed that out. But they were really, really dominant. Not just good yesterday. We talked about it before. If they could just be average, that'll work. They were dominant yesterday and allowed Nick Caley and C.J. Stroud to do whatever the hell they wanted. That Christian Kirk play action pass, I mean, he had so much time to sit back there and just wait for him to come as wide open as he wanted to. And that happened multiple times. as J.J. Watt mentioned on the telecast. So I give it to the offensive line. Those boys up front were dominant.
Yeah, look, I think it's well deserved, man. I mean, it's funny how this thing works, right? And I'm not putting everything on CJ, but I've been beating this dead horse, and to see it come to fruition, I think it's worth pointing out. It's funny how when the quarterback decides to take that quick stuff and to protect himself and to protect the offensive line, how everybody quits bagging on the offensive line, how all of a sudden those guys start playing a little bit better. Yep. And so it's just so refreshing at this point to see, because this is the way that offensive line is intended to be played. Right, is, you know, just generally speaking, there's teams that I think are one-offs and do it differently, but like this is the way it's meant to be played. Right, this game should come down to, right, for the Texans, can they run block, and let's say five times a game can you give your quarterback an extra second back there? That's it. Everything else should be damn near a cakewalk. Right, now you're going to run into opponents where you got to be better than that.
Yeah,
but generally speaking, the offensive coordinator and the quarterback for this team, they should strive for playing a brand of quarterback where the ball gets out quick enough with other than about five or six plays a game. You know what I mean? And then it boils down to, can you get push in a run game? That's literally what it could be. It should be. We should be zeroing in on the pass protection five or six snaps a game. That's it. And instead, we've been watching a year plus two or three games.
Every one of them.
Oh, yeah. Hell, it was almost every pass.
Yeah. And also, they did such a good job that they did what Nick Cayley and D'Amico talked about. Man, we can't be in third and nine and third and right. They did so good also up front early in downs, the offensive line, that they weren't in those situations. Not an obvious passing situation. But to be honest with you, it didn't matter. If CJ got up there and said, "Hey man, we're running a pass. This route's gonna be a wheel route coming out of the back, going slants right here. We got a go route." It didn't matter, man. They were able to protect for CJ Stroud and do whatever they wanted. All right, let's do a little weekend's best, weekend's worst. A lot happened over the weekend. We had college football rolling at full effect on Saturday. We had the baseball playoffs rolling. The NFL, obviously, a lot going on. WNBA finals, a lot going on. Weekend's worst, weekend's best. That's coming up next. All right, welcome back to The Drive on a Reaction Monday, and we are still reacting to the weekend, and in particular Sunday, as the Texans were able to do what they needed to do and more. That was big time as they go and put 44 on the head of of the Ravens. Clint, how much do you think they could have scored if they wanted to? I mean, they damn sure could have gotten over 50.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they could have touched 60 probably. I mean, they're kicking a field goal. How deep into the third quarter or fourth quarter was that last field goal they kicked?
I feel like it was like 13 minutes.
I mean, Davis Mills got at least two possessions.
Yeah, it was like 13 minutes. I feel like 13:28 or something is when CJ finally hung it up.
I think they very easily could have scored a couple more touchdowns. So, I mean, you're looking at high 50s very easily. I haven't gone back and watched it all, but I don't know who all they subbed in late in the game. And I know Damian Pierce was in there one series with CJ, and I know Blake Fisher was in there one series with CJ. So obviously, which I think that was a quick field goal off one of the turnovers. But anyway, I think they could have got into the high 50s if they had pushed it. Yeah.
Yeah, they could have put it on them. Yeah. So big win for the Texans. They go into their bye week the best way they possibly could after starting out 0-3 and not just winning games, but in dominating fashion, 70-10 the last 2 weeks. So that is one of the weekend's best, but maybe not necessarily ours. Let's do it. We do this each and every Monday. Weekend's best, weekend's worst. Let's start with the worst here, Clint. What's your weekend's worst right now?
Well, I mean, look, there's plenty to pick from. The Texans, the Texas Longhorns. I mean, you don't understand. That hits me double whammy because my wife is a Longhorn. So not only am I watching bad football, but then I've got to deal with a wife that is really frustrated. Now, luckily, she's not a huge sports gal, so it's one of those things where she gets over it pretty quick. But that was a tough stretch right there, the Texas game. Penn State was absolutely awful. They ended up making it a close game, but what were they down, 20 at half? Yeah. I mean, that was rough.
The Rick Neuheisel part was cool, though. His son, who looks like he's 21.
Yeah, but I've got to go with Bill Belichick just because Bill Belichick. I mean, if we're being honest, he has been a mess since the Brady divorce. Since he and Brady got divorced, he's been an absolute mess. At with several different quarterbacks in the league and now in college. I mean, you look at they've won two. I think they're 2-3. But when they lose, it's a no doubter. At home versus TCU, 48-14.
They got up 7-0 at the first drive in that game.
Yeah, boy, everybody, all them celebrities in the stands thinking, "Ooh, Bill's got it." Then they go to Central Florida and lose 34-9.
There you go. Jayhawks right? got a big win on the road there.
Yeah, there you go. And then they come home and Clemson and lose to Clemson 38-10. And I mean, a lot of this has to do. I'm just not a Bill Belichick fan. I respect and acknowledge the run in New England, and I get it. But I'm just not a Bill Belichick. I don't like the way he goes about his business. I don't like any of it.
And by the way, this is not exactly the Clemson team that we thought was going to be rolling it before the season started. You're talking about getting a good get right game. That them stands, they were looking like Baltimore. They were walking out second quarter. Well, they just and ESPN said, "We're going to show it."
Because they've been so damn bad. This game was, I mean, Ludacris is doing a 10 a.m. concert. I mean, could you imagine? Ludacris saying, "This is the earliest concert I've ever had." I wanted to say, I bet you Bill done put the fewest butts in them seats, too. I bet you span that crowd out there.
Man, how much money they waste on giving that to Chris Bridges.
Oh, man.
Damn, Luda.
So, anyway, I got to go with Bill Belichick and the North Carolina Tar Heels football team as my weekend's worst.
Yeah, Texas, text line coming in. Texas is a real disappointment, and Arch was way overhyped. I wonder if that fella who texted in, I mean, he was really letting me have it. Oh, I see you're just giving hot takes. You got Arch as the fifth best quarterback in the SEC before the season started. You're right. I was wrong. Ninth. All right. someone texted, Mark Sanchez was easily with the worst weekend. You're probably right.
Oh, that's a good call. I just don't like to take a man that's in critical condition as part of my.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that portion of it. I want to make sure I get it all out here.
Yeah, he's not. But I just
want to make sure I get it all out.
I just went in there and had me a little bowel movement, and I was thumbing a bit, and it looks like that video has surfaced of him hunched over walking around town after being stabbed, just stumbling around the city. Yeah.
69-year-old man.
69-year-old.
Trying to pick up grease cooking truck. Oil. Trying to pick up cooking oil.
You got to be in a bad spot.
I mean, and the way that it all jumped out, like everybody, I almost put out a prayers up. I think I just retweeted somebody's. I almost put out a prayers up. Then I came back and said, whoa, they said they went, they drug Lee Corso's ass back out and said, not so fast, my friend.
I almost cast my trip to Indianapolis. Oh, yeah. I'm like, damn, it's going down.
It's
like
rough that. Out there, right? Yeah, everybody starts posting.
Y'all getting
stats.
Mark Sanchez?
Let Dan Dockage tell you what it is. You almost did, but he had him rough. My weekend's worst is what happened to the Arizona Cardinals in the second half of that game to the Tennessee Titans. I just can't believe all of those things happened. My man hit the old let me drop the ball right before I cross the goal line at 21-6, and that is a touchback. Then they had. Did they have a Kyler get a fumble in the red zone off his face mask?
A snap off his face mask.
I thought he almost had a concussion, to be honest, from that snap. His head jacked back so much. And then they get which I'll be honest with you, I'm still not sure if that was a completed catch on that interception. But then that interception that then the ground seemed to cause that fumble, that interception that then popped up, then was kicked around into the end zone. And then, I mean, I'm telling you, NFL Network, y'all are dogs. When they put up the stat line afterwards, they put up Tyler Lockett, 6 receiving yards and a fumble recovery for touchdown is what they put up there on the stat line for him. That was ridiculous. And then the Titans damn near missed the kick to win it anyway. So the Arizona Cardinals, they've lost 3 in a row since they started 2-0, all at the buzzer. That was my weekend's worst. All right, what's your weekend's best?
Well, you mentioned it. It's the flip side of what could have been one of our weekend's worst with Penn State, James Franklin, and Penn State getting beat by winless UCLA. But the backstory there with Jerry Neuheisel, which is the son of Coach Neuheisel, who coached at UCLA. Jerry quarterbacked at UCLA. I think 10 or 11 years ago was a quarterback that got carried off the field after a big win there at UCLA. He gets play calling duties. And he goes up there, and the score is a lot closer than it actually was, 42-37. But UCLA jumped out. They were up 20 at half. They rushed for over 280 yards. And really, I mean, that's a monster win for UCLA. I don't know what it means for their program. I don't know what it means for their coaching staff. But that particular kid, Jerry Neuheisel, to be able to go in there and call the plays and accomplish it. He's older than he looks. I think 2014. I think he said he's been coaching for 8 years.
Oh, okay.
Something like that.
Now when they brought the shot back, because they put a camera on
his daddy.
On his daddy, and he's in there. I mean, he got them glasses down so low, man. I mean, he looked so old. He out there like this. Get him down on the ground. Get him down. Yeah. and then them fools up there was trying to get him into tears. And I mean, you, anybody, a father right there, that was an emotional watch.
Yeah, 33 years old.
Yeah. I would have had 26.
He looks 18, to be honest with you. He looks like he got to be in a surfer movie from LA at 18.
That lady, his wife, she jumped all over him.
Did she? Is she a looker?
I don't know. I mean, she's fine. She's a little skinny for my take, but she jumped all over him. And as I see Laura right now, they didn't need sexy traffic. They got it in.
There's no doubt.
I am certain of it. The way she jumped on him,
they would have benefited from sexy traffic.
Yeah, they would have benefited. Yeah, that's a good starter. But the way she jumped on him, it was that same way that young lady jumped over Carlos Correa after they won that championship and he proposed. Yeah, she was all over it. But.
Yeah, no, that was my cool weekend's moment. Best. So, you know, I got a chance to meet Rick one time when I was in the TV game, and I will never forget how good he was to me. I mean, just the conversation and going out of his way to come back and double back on the conversation and talking ball. And, I mean, he was there. It was actually an Arkansas game, and it was a spring game. And so he was – I can't remember what exactly who he was working for and what he was doing there. But just, I mean – over the top, man, a guy that is, whether it's a TV game or the coach game, has done enough to where, boy, you would think, you know, a lot of guys that hadn't done near as much as he has, yeah. they think they're bigger than everybody else. And he was friendly, man, talking ball, great dude. So it's good to see his boy get a shot, man.
For me, my weekend's best. I know there's a lot of football happening this weekend. The division series have started. It was some, for the most part, some really good games, except for the games in Toronto. They just beat the hell out of the Yankees. But the best thing was Vladimir Guerrero Jr. That grand slam he hit in game 2 yesterday. I mean, everything about it, Clint. This is one you gotta go watch, and you gotta hear the sound off the bat. Oh, it's one of the ones that you love, Clint. And I mean,
they gotta be putting the mic.
Base is loaded, and I mean, he clocked it, and then the celebration was he held it there. Stared at it a little bit, took the bat, and just calmly bat flipped that sucker over to the dugout. That home run Vladdy hit was so cool. Like if I was a kid, I would. I don't care where I live, I'd buy a Vladdy Jr. jersey off that. That was cold blooded. I mean, the whole thing of it. He looked so cool the way that all transpired. And then they commenced to whooping their ass. It was 9-0 at that point. They beat the hell out of the Yankees.
Don't lie, it's the big boy in him that does it for you.
A little bit, but I'm gonna show you the Vlad in the break. Hey, he was cold blooded. What you got coming up?
Well, Ron, that's a good question. You know, Nick Caley's been great. Nick Caley was great. I've got a long laundry list of
it was
what made Nick Caley great this past Sunday. But there's two things. There's two things that stood out in a major, major way. I'll let you know what that is. We'll cuss and discuss next right here on Sports Radio 610.